issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message. Amen. Now, open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to speak to you about casting your cares, keep your confidence. Cast your cares, keep your confidence. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read some scriptures, verse number 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. God gives what?
Grace.
Grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished, are experienced by your brethren that are in the world. Amen. But the God of all grace, who have called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice here that he talked about casting all your care on the Lord. Amen. Why? Because he what? Cares for you. Now you're going to see why God cares for you. It's going to come clear to you. You already know that, but sometimes God is able to show us in different ways how much he really cares about us. Now notice here, after he said casting all your care on him, for he cares for you, he immediately starts talking about your adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are being experienced by your brethren that are in the world. So notice here that Satan is the one that brings the affliction. Amen. God doesn't bring affliction. He doesn't bring tribulation. He doesn't test you with sin or anything like that. The affliction, the trouble, the trials, the pressure, the storms of life, they come as a result of what you have heard about the Word of God. And the Bible says to throw your cares on God. Amen. So if you have a care, you need to cast it. You need to throw it. You need to get rid of it. And we'll show you why this is so important in a few minutes here. Let me read this out of the Amplified. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Notice here he says, to cast all your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns need to be given to the Lord. You give them to him. In other words, you throw them to him. You cast them off. That means you cast them away like you're getting rid of something that's bad. Because cares are bad. Worries and anxieties are bad. They will frustrate your life. And they will hinder the grace of God from working in you like it's supposed to work. Amen? So God doesn't want you to be worried and overly concerned about things and full of fear and frustration and worry. Okay? God doesn't want you. He cares about you. Believe that. Tell your neighbor, say, God cares about you. All right, tell yourself that. It's more important for you to tell yourself that. Because sometimes you forget God cares about you. And the devil will whisper in your ear, he don't care about you no more. I'm going to tell you, this is written in the Word right here. And God can't change that Word. When he said he cares about you, that's exactly what he means. He has affection for you. He cares about you. Amen? Now, turn to Psalm 55, and we're going to look at verse number 22. Psalm 55, 22. Notice here that in the Old Testament, they were given the same instruction that Peter gave the church in the New Testament. Verse 22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never allow the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall do what? Sustain you. He shall never allow the righteous to be moved. Now, the Amplified says this, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fail, or fall. Amen. When you will consistently seek him, there will be a continual supply of revelation knowledge and rewards that will be manifested in your life that will enable you to live your life in such a way that you don't slip, fail, or fall. Amen. But you got to get rid of the care, because if you don't get rid of the care, you're going to slip, fail, and fall. And if you don't get rid of the care, then Satan will have an advantage on you, and he will cause you to be offended at God. And your faith will stop working, the Word won't work in you, and you won't be fruitful in the assignment that God has given you. Okay? Everybody say, cast your burden.
Cast your burden.
Cast my worries. I want you to get rid of whatever's concerning you right now. He said, all your concerns, all your worries, anything got you full of anxiety that's robbing you of rest and peace. Notice here that when you have anxiety, there's the absence of peace. There's the absence of joy. When you have care and worry and anxiety and fear, then you don't have the peace of God like you should have it manifested in your life. You're not bearing the fruit of peace. Hallelujah. And joy is not allowed to work in you when you're full of care and worry. Hallelujah. Now throw it. Throw that care. Glory to God. Give it to God. God is a good catcher. He didn't say how high to throw it or how low. He just said, get rid of the thing. Throw it and I'll get it. In other words, you have to release that from your soul. You say, I refuse to think about this anymore. I refuse to worry about this anymore. I refuse to accept the anxiety of this right now. I will not receive it. And you say, God's got it. See, once I cast it, it's gone. He's got it, and he's working on it. Now, I need to trust in him that he know what he's doing. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to cast my care, and then before I walk out of here tonight, done picked it back up. No, don't pick it back up. Don't take the care of it. I'm going to show you. All of this, what I'm telling you, is so scriptural. All right, now, look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to see the same instruction, just said in a different way. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what?
Rejoice.
So he's telling you twice to do what? Rejoice. That means have joy. Tell your neighbor again, say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Tell them again.
Rejoice.
See, people hate to hear that word when they're going through something. When you got trouble, the last thing you want to do is somebody tell you to count it all joy. You don't want to hear rejoice when it seems like all hell done broke loose against you. That's exactly what you need to do to overcome what has come against you. You're going to have to learn how to rejoice in the midst of your struggle. Amen. All right, rejoice in the Lord. See what I always say? In the Lord, always. Rejoice in who?
The Lord.
So my rejoicing should be in him. Rejoice in the Lord. Bible said, be strong in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your self-control be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. That means he's near. Amen. Then it tells you, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Tell your neighbor, say everything.
Amen.
That means there shouldn't be nothing left on your list. That means that you don't give God a partial list and say, Lord, I'm going to cast these here, but I got these. He said, cast all of them. What do all mean?
All.
That means you're not supposed to have a care. You're not supposed to have any worries, any anxieties. And you can live that way if you will do it God's way. This is so good. Tell me, I know where I'm going. I believe I know where the Holy Ghost is taking us. And you're going to be rejoicing when you leave here tonight. You might be rejoicing by faith right now. But your rejoicing is going to be real and genuine by the time you leave here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, this scripture here says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. In other words, by your petition, no matter what you're facing in life, you get your prayer request ready. He said, let your requests be made known to God with what? So now I see rejoicing and what? Thanksgiving are going to help me deal with these cares. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, be thankful.
Be thankful.
You should spend more time thanking God than you do talking about your trouble.
Right.
You ought to spend more time rejoicing in him than talking about your trouble.
Amen.
Okay? We're talking about casting our care here. So I see if I'm going to cast my care, then I'm going to have to give it to the Lord. I'm going to have to rejoice. And then I'm going to have to get into a place of thanksgiving. I'm going to make my request known. I'm going to find out what God's will is in my situation, and then I'm going to ask for his will to be done. I'm going to make my request based on the word of God. Amen. Lord, I see this in the word. You provided this. This is what you promised. I'm making my request right now for this to manifest in my life. How many of you know the word of God is a seed? Jesus said that, didn't he? He said the word of God is the seed that's planted in the heart of man. Every seed have a divine purpose, and every seed has an intended harvest. Right? You don't plant a seed and then just say, whatever come up. I'm going to plant this seed, and Lord, whatever you want to come up, it's going to come up. No, that seed has in itself the power to reproduce itself. So if I plant an orange seed, guess what kind of harvest I'm going to get? Orange. Now, that seed has in it the ability to produce oranges. If I plant mustard seeds, it's going to give me a harvest of mustard greens. If I plant apple seeds, it's going to give me a harvest of apple seeds. So every seed has an assignment to reproduce what it is. So when you start meditating on God's word, on healing, then that seed is designed to produce health. It's designed to give you a harvest of health. Hallelujah. If I'm meditating on prosperity scriptures, then those scriptures are seeds that are sown into my heart that are designed to produce a harvest of prosperity in my life and blessing. Hallelujah. This works in any area of my life. So I have to determine what kind of harvest I want. And then I go to the word of God, and then I plant that seed and I hear that word, because that seed has the power to produce what it is. Amen. And what it says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the Amplified Bible. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Sometimes scriptures are hard to believe. When you're so natural minded that when God says something so definite and so inclusive that it's hard to wrap your mind around it sometimes. When he says, don't have anxiety about anything, that is exactly what he meant. Now, the natural man will fight against that and say, now, wait a minute. Now, you're going to worry. If you're a parent, you're going to worry about your children. If you lose your job, you're going to worry about money. That's normal, Pastor, for us to worry. I'm going to tell you, it is not normal for a believer. Amen. It is abnormal for you as a believer to be worried and full of anxiety and to be fretting. That's not normal, right? Well, you say, well, Pastor, how is that not normal? Well, is Jesus full of anxiety? See, he's the standard. He gave us the example. So my life, I need to pattern my life after him. The Bible tells me to be an imitator of God as a dear child. Amen. So I'm to imitate him. So I'm supposed to pattern my life after him. I'm not to be adapted to this world. I'm not to be conformed to this world. The world will tell you, child, if you ain't worried, something wrong with you. I mean, if you're having all kind of trouble and you sit down and talk to a psychologist and you say, you know, I ain't worried about none of this yet, they'll think you crazy. They will say you're disillusioned. You have lost a sense of reality. They are not in the real world. Right? They say they done lost touch with reality. They got all these problems, and they say they ain't worried about nothing. Something wrong with them. That's because the world gone crazy. What do believers do?
Believe.
Believers believe. That's what our main assignment is, to believe and to trust God. Amen? All right, let me see if I can get through this scripture. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance, and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving. That definite request is the will of God. It is based on the word of God. It is the seed that you use for your request. Making definite request with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now, when you do that, you see, you got to practice this. I remember when I got saved, when I started learning things like that, I ain't supposed to be worried about anything. Well, I would practice it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let me do my rejoicing. I just go from one scripture to the next. Now, I didn't know how to do that next scripture, verse 5. Let your moderation be known to all men. I just say the Lord is present. I didn't know how to let my moderation be known. But I rejoiced, and I said, okay, I'm walking. I'm self-control. Glory to God. I'm disciplining myself to walk with God. Hallelujah. The Lord is near. He's right here with me. Now he said, now cast all your cares on me. Don't have anxiety about anything. So at that time, I would say, Lord, I refuse to worry about, and I would identify the circumstance, the situation, or the thing that has brought anxiety into my life. And I say, Lord, I refuse to worry about this. And then I would make my request known. I said, now, Lord, this is what I desire. I desire your will. And your will says this to me in the word. But this is my request, and I'm making my request known with thanksgiving. So I'm going to thank you right now that this word, this seed that I receive into my life right now is going to materialize and happen in my life, that you will bring this word to pass. And then I will remind God of his promise. And then I would begin to magnify God's faithfulness. Now, Lord, you're going to watch over this word that I embrace right now. You're watching over this word to make it good in my life. Not one word of all your good promise ever failed. And it's not going to fail me. So, Lord, I just want to thank you right now that this seed is working in me right now. That the seed of life is in me. It's working in my situation. And I will have a harvest from this word, and from this promise will produce a harvest of blessing in my life. I just want to thank you right now for victory in this situation. I made my request known. And then I did it with thanksgiving. And then I would say the next verse. Now, Lord, I expect the peace of God to mount a fortress around my heart and mind. I expect a manifestation of the peace of God in my life right now. So, Lord, I thank you. See, now God done got involved with me. When I cast my care, now God has gotten involved with my situation. And the evidence of his peace let me know that he's working on my trouble. Amen. He give me peace about it. He say, don't worry about it. I got it. Now, I know he's working on it because I got peace. And I can rejoice and I can thank God. But the evidence of that peace, and I say, Lord, I expect this. Now, you said if I did these things here and I've done them to the best of my understanding, I've done them the way the Holy Ghost revealed them to me. Now, I expect some peace to show up. Now, it don't always manifest right then, but I know it ain't going to be long before all of a sudden, oh, I got a peace about that. That's the evidence of God's presence. Hallelujah. That's the evidence. That's the sign to me. That's the down payment that God is working on my trouble. And so I want to stay in that place, and I don't want to accept the care back, then my peace going to go. When peace is not present, God ain't working. And I'm not talking about a feeling now. I'm just talking about the real peace, a manifestation of the peace of God. You know when you got it. And you got an inward conviction and an assurance in you that everything is all right. God's working on this here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you cast your care. Hallelujah. You believe God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with this earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, you know, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ. In other words, I'm expecting peace that goes beyond my ability to understand, to begin to protect my heart and my mind. That's exactly what that means. It will build a fortress around your heart and your mind, and it will keep the anxiety out. Hallelujah. Keep that fear from getting on me. There's a reason why you got to keep it out and keep that care from getting back on you. Because God is faithful to his word. When you meet the conditions of the scripture, then everything goes into motion. You cast that care, you say, I ain't going to worry about anything. And then you get into thanksgiving, you make that request known, and then you tell God, now I expect some peace. Lord, I'm expecting it because that's what you said was going to be my reward. My reward for casting my cares on God is his peace. And a joyful soul. Hallelujah. That's my reward. When I cast my care, I'm going to be rewarded with peace. And I'm expecting it. I'm looking for it. Hallelujah. And once I get it, amen, once it manifests in my life, I ain't moving from that spot. I'm going to keep my peace. Hallelujah. So you got to guard your heart. Then you begin to guard your heart and your mind. There's a part that you have to do. In other words, by keeping your eyes and your ears and not letting people bring you, you know, bad reports and things and letting people talk negative to you. And Satan will start sending people around and, you know, they'll start discouraging your faith. You have to guard your heart from that type of stuff. The peace of God is working. Now, don't listen to no other report that somebody bring to you. Amen. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. And above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Hallelujah. So one way that you guard your heart with diligence and vigilance, that means with a watchful eye. That means be sober. Keep your heart with all diligence, with all vigilance. See, this is a key. Now, I'm going to guard and I'm going to protect myself from anything that's negative, from anything that will come against my mind to tell me that God ain't working. Hallelujah. So, making my request known, getting into a place of thanksgiving, rejoicing, and then walking in that peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to show you some things here. Because a lot of times people don't understand why things are happening in their life. But Jesus gave us a parable. It's called the parable of the sower. And he said, if you don't understand this parable, how do you understand all the other parables? There's some keys that he has revealed to us that show us what go on in the unseen realm. He shows it to us, plain and simple. All right, now let's look at, we're going to start looking at verse number 19. But I want you to notice here that there's four major weapons that are formed against your faith. There are four weapons that are formed against your faith, or I'm going to say four different ways that Satan can bring attack in your life in this setting right here. All right, in verse number 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now notice that he's going to talk about four different types of soil, and he's talking about the seed and what happens to it when it hits those different types of soil. That soil or that ground represents your heart. So what he said here, that one of Satan's first tools is ignorance. If he can keep you from understanding what you hear, then he can dominate you.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage.